5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. We got a lot of great stuff that we have been dealing with. If you missed anything, just go to newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com. You can listen to any portion of the program you did not have a chance to listen to. And you can listen again to everything you did. And perhaps even more importantly, you can share it with everybody. Again, newsradiowrva.com. Download your Jeff Katz programs over there. Don't you think it's rich that dear Abby Spamberger wants to talk about wasting money? Dear Abby is the one who said, let us carve up Virginia's congressional district so that Democrats can steal all of them. How many millions of dollars were squandered on that garbage trying to steal congressional seats? Now, of course, it wasn't just Dear Abby who was responsible for that. Our attorney general, Jay Jones, Mr. Two Bullets. He, of course, doubled down on that, and because he is apparently the dumbest guy to ever have passed the bar exam, he had to call in legal experts from California to argue his case. They lost as well, thank God, but this is what happens when the JV team is in charge. It's rather disturbing, but it is absolutely hysterical on some levels, to listen to Dear Abby Spamberger talking about how there might have been money that wasn't spent well during the 4 years that Governor Youngkin was in office. And for the record, I don't accept her assertions. When you have someone who is a proven liar, why would you believe them when they say something? I'm not telling you it's not true. I'm telling you that I don't believe her because I've seen her lie far too many times over the years. Right? I'm not new to the Dear Abby experience, okay? I've been here a long time, and I've watched Dear Abby lie to the people in the 7th District, pretend to be this, that, or the other, not actually do any of the things she said she was going to do. But with all of that being said, if there were things that didn't go right during the time that Glenn Youngkin was in office, do you know who would be the first to say, geez, we should do something about that? It would be Glenn Youngkin. It's part of the reason that I just continue to this day to have tremendous admiration, tremendous appreciation for Governor Youngkin. I'd love to see him back into some sort of public role again. And I don't know what it is. I kind of assume that he's running for president. That may or may not be true. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to think it's true because I think he'd do a hell of a job. Could he be the guy to do it? I don't know. If you were to ask me today, who would you stand with running for president? I would be with Marco Rubio. But I don't know that I have completely and totally picked a team. I don't know. All right, let me take a look at a couple of things coming on the James River Air text line. 833-804-1140, 833-804 1140. 804 says, Jeff, will Todd Starnes be signing books here in Richmond? You know, at this moment, I don't believe he has anything scheduled, but we should absolutely put something together to make sure that Todd comes to town to do that. And I know Todd is interested in coming to Central Virginia. He's got a huge base here in Central Virginia. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. But as of today, the answer would be no. 804, Jeff, that sports and tourism complex for Colonial Heights is a terrible idea. That's what 804 says. I love Colonial Heights like you love Hanover County. City Council sold us out literally for a buck a parcel. Wow. Well, okay. I don't know. I saw the brief report on CBS6. We've got Wayne Coville locked in for next week, the only Tri-Cities reporter anywhere in Central Virginia. Nobody else has one. Not the other two TV stations, not the the newspaper, nobody else. Not the magazine, right? There's still a Virginia, not a Virginia, Richmond magazine. I think there is. 804, Jeff, Governor Spamberger has got no business talking about money being wasted on an IT system for Social Security, as much fraud as they have let happen. I agree with you. And it's not just fraud, it's dangerous people who are just leaving, absconding, fleeing the jurisdiction. You mean to tell me that there was nobody within the entire Commonwealth of Virginia that looked at a guy who, if memory serves, murdered his landlord, but was found to be crazy? He was legally insane, right? But he murdered his landlord, and so he was confined in a mental institution for murdering his landlord. And then dear Abby Spamberger and her team, along with Steve Descano and the collection of criminal coddling, cop-hating leftists that infest the Fairfax County Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, a little bit like Shannon Taylor and the Henrico CA, but I digress. You mean to tell me there was nobody in this entire operation, that said, huh, he's asking for a passport? Nobody. Nobody looked at this and said, wait a minute. So he killed his landlord. Yep. He's confined because he's, you know, he's crazy. Yeah. And we're giving him a 48-hour pass. Yep. And he says he needs a passport. Yep. Nobody said, I don't think he needs a passport to go to the Walmart here in Fairfax County. Do they have a Walmart in Fairfax? They probably do. It's probably, you know, a very nice Walmart, but I'm sure they have one. That's what you're telling me, right? Just so we're all very, 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 very clear. Nobody threw the flag on a passport. Now, I have to tell you something. I don't run an institution that's responsible for confining people who have committed crimes but have also been determined to be legally insane. I don't do that. But I got to tell you something. If I did, and that person, that patient, that inmate, that fine, upstanding citizen said, I want the 48-hour pass, and I'm going to need a passport, I would actually explain to him that if you were traveling from Fairfax to Loudoun, you do not need a passport, even though it seems like that. You know, it's not like going all the way from Hanover to Chesterfield where you do need a passport, but no. Crazy. Do me a favor, Germ, can you get cut number one ready here? Scott Jennings, who is the only reason that anybody should endorse CNN, absolutely blows it out of the water when he's talking about this goofball senator from Georgia, this John Ossoff. Cut number one, please.
People are looking at, in many times, the critiques and criticism of Ossoff, and they're directly pointing to what they see as hypocritical thread to what the president does oftentimes. Do you see a distinction?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. Because Ossoff, I agree with Mark, was giving what we just played there, standard liberal talking points against Trump. You're going to hear that from every candidate for president. What he did with Natalie Harp, though, was something different. He didn't attack the president. He took an unknown presidential aide. She's not elected anything. She's not a household name. She's not a public figure. And he basically communicated that the only reason she has her job in the White House is because, hey, that's what Republican women are good for, right? Wink, wink. That's how they get their jobs in politics. I think he's a disgusting coward.
He didn't say that specifically, clear, but your intimation is what you think happened. Go ahead.
Well, if you're arguing that he could have had any other possible meaning, I don't know how you would conclude anything other. You heard the crowd. They were in there clapping like seals. Now, the party of women likes to tell us that, you know, we're here for women's rights and we're going to promote women. And then you've got one of their leading candidates for president out dragging an unknown woman who's gone off to serve her government through the mud, insinuating that the only possible reason she could have a job in politics is because she's a concubine for a politician. It's disgusting. He went on MS Now and got asked about it, and he wouldn't defend it.
Get out of here.
He wouldn't defend it. He was a coward for not defending it. He's willing to do it in a scripted rally, but he's not willing to defend it after the fact. It's despicable.
It is absolutely despicable. And again, the only reason anybody should even imagine that CNN is worth enduring is because of Scott Jennings. It is, it's 1716 is what it is. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 522, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Did you know that we spend the least amount of money of just about anybody on hair maintenance in Virginia, Central Virginia in particular? And even with that, it's far more than I spend. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, because I think it's fascinating how much people are spending on their hair stuff. I think it's crazy. And given that some folks, like Todd Starnes, have said it's the duty of talk radio to actually do something. I mean, other than just talk. We may talk tomorrow just a little bit about some of your favorites in this talk radio arena. We are trying to figure out what the W in WNBA stands for. Is it women? Is it woman? Is it women's? Is it wacky, wacko, wackadoodle? Is it what the hell were you thinking? I don't know. I don't know. I do know this. I do know that there are retired NBA players who have said they're entering the WNBA draft. Enes Kanter is one of them. Cut number 7, please.
Now listen to me very carefully. So far, I have spoken with 2 former NBA players, 3 G League players, and 3 European players. They have all said that if the WNBA won't change the rules, we are ready to join the movements and we are considering coming out as women and putting our names in the 2027 WNBA draft. Hear me out. The NBA G League pays players $45,000 a year, while the WNBA top players earn $1.4 million. Those men could earn an extra $1,355,000 a year by just identifying as women. Rules are rules.
Yeah, even if they involve numbers, rules are rules. Just don't wear a T-shirt that the WNBA finds objectionable. You know, something that basically says girls are girls and boys are boys. Cut number 2.
Common sense, people are asking for.
That's insane. Annie, the WNBA told us that they're aware of the interactions at last night's game in Atlanta, which fans were asked to cover up. That's you guys, cover up the shirts. This should not have happened, they said. Does that make you feel better about this? Presumably, Annie, it won't happen again?
It's 100% going to happen again until people actually do something.
Yeah, she's right. It's 100% going to happen again until people say, you know what, XX doesn't equal XY and XY doesn't equal XX, and it never will. It doesn't mean anybody hates you. It doesn't mean anybody wants you to be miserable. It doesn't mean anything other than XX does not equal XY and XY does not equal XX. With that being said, I wish you a long, happy, healthy life. I really honestly do. I want you to be as happy as you possibly can. But please don't ask me to engage in your delusion, because that will not happen. Mike Dickinson, our citizen reporter, citizen journalist, and WWE expert analyst, is going to be with us at 5:35. It is 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
Have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA, Wednesday. All right. Slight calibration or recalibration weather-wise. Now they're saying not quite a 50-50 chance of rain and thunder boomers overnight. All right, so stay close. We'll keep you up to speed on all of that. He's back! I would say bigger than ever, but that's not true. Just better than ever. We haven't chatted in a while. Our dear friend, citizen journalist, citizen reporter, expert WWE analyst, Mike Dickinson. Mike Dickinson, thank you for being here.
Of course, anytime.
Well, we are so happy to have you back in rotation. You were under the weather a little bit. Then you had this
war.
You had like a war of words going on with every airline in America, or you just missed a flight. I forget. But it sounds better if we talk about your war with the planes.
It was terrible. You know, these airlines are terrible these days with the they overbook flights. They act like it's no big deal. They know the flights are going to get messed up, and they just overbook or they don't schedule them, and then you as the consumer have no really options of what to do. So I mean, it's really terrible. They don't really run it like a business.
No, I would ask you which airline it was, but at this point, it could have been any of them, huh?
Yeah, I've traveled a lot the last month, and believe me, none of them are very good right now. They lose baggage, they run late, they oversell the flights. They really just don't care, and there's nothing that you can do about it because they really don't care.
No, they really don't care. That becomes abundantly clear the longer that you are waiting for them to do something, and it's they don't care. But
yeah.
All of that being said, we do care about one or two other things. UVA is, are we number one with a bullet, or are we falling? I mean, we're not nearly the most liberal institution in America that I thought we were.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, they rank the top liberal schools in America, and UVA is the 20th most liberal college in America, which it's surprising that it's not like number one, because you would think that it would be like the number one most liberal school with all of the indoctrination and all of the troubles and stuff going up there. But it's only the number 20th. So that's kind of sad. I think it's a sad state for the state of America and higher institutions, because, you know, we know that UVA is pretty terrible when it comes to, you know, the professors that are there, the leadership that's been there, the organizing of kids coming out who are not educated but who are indoctrinated. And you know, it's surprising that it's only 20th, but you know, really it's not surprising. I mean, colleges in America and the whole system of higher learning in America has been corrupted by these, I would say, these nerds with PhDs, but I am a nerd with a PhD. But I've worked in the real world, and I can tell you, having dealt with a lot of nerds with PhDs, they don't understand reality. And their whole thing is, you know, any of the social justice concept, it's a bunch of malarkey and a bunch of stupidity, but that's what they're putting into kids at places like UVA and VCU and all the universities. They've gotten away from like the X's and O's and nuts and bolts of what really makes the country great and what really makes business go. And instead you're paying $100,000 a year for your kid to learn about some BS, you know, gender studies theory that's not going to make them $1. And then they're going to graduate college and wonder why they can only get a job at Starbucks. And then they're going to want to unionize because they demand to get paid. You know, I have a master's degree in art, and I demand to get paid this amount of money. I have a master's degree in gender studies, and all I can do is make coffee.
Yep. Well, these are the folks who are lining up. They're thrilled to vote for the so-called Democratic Socialist of America. These are communists. They're down with the revolution, Mike, because they have, I don't want to be nasty, but in many ways, they've kind of failed in the real world, haven't they?
Most of them have, you know, most of them have. And the sad thing is, like, most of these leaders of these democratic socialist movements, they're not people who have actually come up as they've come up rich, you know.
Yes.
The mayor of New York grew up rich. His wife, who went to VCU and studied art, she didn't grow up in the project. She grew up rich.
That's right.
And if you look at most of the leaders of these socialist movements that want to tell you, you know, oh, having too much is bad, having too much is bad. Well, they went to private schools. Their parents were rich. They lived in a gigantic house. They had everything they wanted. But now they want to tell you and they want to tell everybody else that that's bad, that anybody who does that is bad. But yet they're the ones that are actually bad.
Yeah. Well, that's you are spot on, Mike. These are the Nepo babies, right? These are I used to call them the Trustafarians. They've never had to work a day in their life. They'll never have to work a day in their life. They've got trust funds that will keep them for 6 years after they pass away, and so that they can feel better about everything they have. They want to take the stuff that Mike Dickinson and Jeff Katz and some other people worked really hard for and broke our asses to earn, but somehow they're going to take it and redistribute it to their friends who also have thoroughly usable, important degrees like gender studies and music appreciation.
Exactly. I don't understand, you know, the taxpayers and the people that do these student loans, they should be very irritated. I mean, you want to talk about why student loans don't work in America or why they're not working in America. It's because people are dumb and they're taking out all of this loan to get a degree that doesn't pay. You know, sure, gender studies or, you know, LGBT literature study, that may be a fun little degree to get, but it's not going to make you any money. If you want to get money and you want to get paid, go get a degree in something that's hard, like math, science. It's a hard degree, but you know what? Engineering. But you know what? When you graduate with a degree in something like that, you're going to come out and make six figures with no problem whatsoever. But it's hard. You're not going to be able to sit there and, you know, read poetry that whines about America or whines about, oh, you know, the plight of the gay citizen, the plight of this person. There's no money in that, you know. Yeah. So cry me a river. Now, that's if you want exactly to do something right. noble. If you want to do something noble, like be a school teacher, go and get a master's in English, and then you'll have a nice, noble career as an English teacher. But don't get a degree in, you know, gender literature and then expect to be a millionaire.
Right. And that's the thing. Now, part of it, Mike, you know as well as I do, if you're going to go, you're going to get your degree in, I don't know, gay music appreciation. Yeah, sure, I'd appreciate hearing some gay music. I don't even know what it is, but I guarantee I guarantee you're going to finish with a 4.0, because who can tell you that you're wrong, right? I mean, there's nothing definitive there. We can't define the W and WNBA. So, I mean, everything is subject to interpretation. So you have to finish with a 4.0. But put yourself in an engineering program, man, and if you got that equation wrong, there goes your perfect average.
Exactly. You know, it goes back to just really about how people don't want to be held accountable. People don't want to do anything that challenges them. They want to coast and get a 4.0 in something they like. They don't want to learn anything. They don't want to have the possibility of failure, because it would be too much for them to handle because they've been coddled their whole life. And that's unfortunately, right. and you hear about that too with like these public school systems that are changing the grading rubric because, you know, it would be emotionally devastating for somebody to get told they're a C average or a D on a test. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but when I was in high school, believe it or not, I failed many tests. And you know what? It made me a better person, because when you fail a test, it tells you you've got to go study a little bit harder.
That's right.
And it's a life lesson you learn, you know, that if you don't study, you know, you're going to get your butt kicked. And a lot of these kids that are coming up that have been brainwashed, and a lot of the high schools and a lot of the teachers, not all of them, but a lot of the teachers that are in these teachers unions, they don't want to teach. They don't want to be held accountable for failure either. So they teach to pass students. Yep. And in doing so, they really set the kids up for failure the rest of their lives, because when you get out there in business, whether you're owning a lemonade stand or an auto parts store or anything, or having a radio show, you have to do and have a product that sells, because if your product doesn't sell, nobody cares, and then you don't make money. It's not guaranteed. You know, that's why they all end up working at Starbucks, whining about this and that, and end up unionizing, or they end up working at McDonald's and they want to march around and picket the block because we demand a living wage, but yet they don't want to put any work in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is why the robot kiosks are taking over. They don't call out sick. They don't unionize. Now, in all fairness, they can't tell you about gay literature, but I'm okay with that. I just want them to provide a burger and a drink of some sort, and I will be okay.
Exactly.
Hey,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that happened while you and I were away from each other, Mike, is that Brock Lesnar apparently has said, yeah, that's it, I'm done. Is that for real? Is Brock Lesnar really, honestly retired?
I think he might be. You know, it took place in his hometown. He might, you know, maybe we'll see him again down the road at one of the big ones like WrestleMania or maybe a run-in spot. But that guy's got so much money. He likes his privacy. He doesn't want to be bothered by anybody, quite frankly.
Yep.
You know, maybe he just wants to be done with it and go and be on his Canadian 400, 500 acre estate with a bunch of moose or meese. I don't know what the plural of moose is, but, you know, he wants to be surrounded by caribou. He wants to be surrounded by the caribou
yeah.
and his wife, Sable.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mike, except for the caribou or the moose or the meese, I'm with him. I would totally like to be in the middle of 500 of my own acres that nobody can find. That's my goal in life. What about CM Punk and Kevin Owens? Are they throwing down in Toronto? Is that what I heard? KO and TO?
Yeah, that's going to be a great match too. You know, they've been working up to that for a little bit too. These are two guys that Kevin Owens came from the Indies, made a huge mark in WWE. He was out for a while with what was possibly could have been a career ending injury. Punk has been, you know, he's been champion now. He's been in a bunch of major storylines. He kind of had a big, big second half of his career coming back to WWE.
Yeah.
So this is a match that people have wanted for a long time. They both Punk and Owens have both kind of thrived on being, I don't want to say outlaw, but kind of being the indie outlaw in WWE or the anti-establishment guy in WWE, because they're both different. Punk with the way that he's kind of always been a loner and kind of never really liked the establishment, and Kevin Owens, you know, the guy that wrestles on a T-shirt, the guy that doesn't look like your typical WWE wrestler, never has.
Yep. And according to James E. Cornette, a guy that is not familiar with where showers are located in locker rooms.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's channeling his inner Rikishi and saying, "Hey, well, I'm taking you out, brother, and you're not going to like the way it happens." But I don't know, Mike. It is so good to hear your voice again. So glad to have you back. And next week, we're looking forward to it. I always look forward to chatting with you.
Definitely. Sounds good.
Thank you, my friend. That is Mike Dickinson. Nobody better. Citizen journalist, citizen reporter on all those big time serious issues, and our go-to WWE expert analyst. What can I tell you? Good, solid dude. It is 17:48 hours. Go get your translator out and figure out what time it is. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. So, what do you think? Do you want me sticking with the AM, PM, or do you want to go 24-hour clock? Because, hey, I'm in with either one. You tell me. I mean, I'm looking at my watch. It says 17:53 hours. And when I talk about happy hours, you know, the happy hour maneuvers here at Casa Cats always get underway at 18:03 hours. But all of that being said, not everybody is on a 24-hour clock. Some people love AM, PM. So I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to make everybody happy. You know me. I'm a people pleaser. That's not true. God. Jeremy right about now is like, it's all skulls because he's just lost his blank when I said that. The last thing on my agenda any time is just overall people pleasing for the point of pleasing people. That's just not me. I do have one son like that, though. Joe is a pleaser. Joe just wants everybody to be happy. And whatever he has to say or do to make people happy is okay. Now, there's a part of me that says, aw, isn't that sweet? And there's a part of me that says, you know, that's how people get involved with illicit drugs. That's exactly it right there. Or they're breaking into buildings because I just want you to be happy. You know, my buddies just wanted to be happy, Dad. So just don't do that. Tomorrow, we got some great stuff coming up. Dear friend, Tony Pham is going to be here, former director of ICE, and he's back on social media, sort of, kind of. He's over on X, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The latest nonsense, insanity, craziness with illegal aliens just doing any damn thing they want, thanks to far left wing pseudo prosecutors, or as we say technically, pseudo prosecutors like Steve Descano and Shannon Taylor. These are criminal coddling, cop-hating, pseudo-prosecutors. And we've got a couple more that are in the news. So Tony Pham will talk a little bit about that. A big dust up. Where was it? The Wisconsin State Fair or Minnesota State Fair? I think it was Wisconsin State Fair that just went six ways bad, 6 degrees terrible, when a couple of teenagers, using that term loosely, I suppose, decided they would engage in hijinks and shenanigans that made it all that more dangerous. So what do you do in that case? I don't know. I don't know. I will tell you, retired FBI agent Rob Chadwick will be here tomorrow. Rob, of course, headed up all the tactical training for the Bureau up at Quantico for years and is now the principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association Delta Defense. And I want him to weigh in on this. We got a lot of folks heading back to college. Some have already left, right? Some are getting ready to leave in the next couple of weeks. I would urge you, get yourself a copy of Rob Chadwick's book about staying safe. Just being aware, situationally aware, is so important, so vitally important. Head on a swivel, right? You've heard that expression? And if you haven't heard that expression, here it is. Head on a swivel. You need to always be aware of your surroundings. You can't control all of your surroundings, but man, you better be aware of them or you are going to be in a world of hurt. So, some great stuff coming up tomorrow. That is excellent stuff. Hey, there may or may not be some showers this evening. There may or may not be some thunder boomers this evening. So please beware of the weather. What can I tell you? Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.